Okay, the Siyata Deshia. Today we're wrapping up Malabim. A large part of what I'm going to be discussing are Zeros de Rabbanan that are connected to Malabim and Schita. Just two more points about the Isser de Raisa of Malabim. Yaakov told me, I had forgotten that Rabbi Bleich does have an article about contact lenses. I had forgotten about that article. And what one does have is what we have in front of us in our Mar Mekomos is the Archa Shabbos' presentation in Perek Gimel Ha'ara Samach Vav. And there, what the Archa Shabbos says, I'll just summarize outside, is that the Archa Shabbos really differentiates between how the contact lens is sitting. If the contact lens is sitting in a context in which there is no way that it's going to be cleaned. It's not sitting in a cleaner. It's sitting only in a saline. And, as we mentioned from Avol Yashiv, it's been entirely cleaned beforehand, so then in such a case, then there's not going to be a problem. However, if it's sitting in a cleaner as well, so then in such a case, then you have the problem of Shir Yasan Zuhi Kivusan. And therefore, in the Beis Medrash, we left off with the Tzarech Iyun. What would the heter be to use an all-purpose contact lens cleaner? If the cleaner is an all-purpose cleaner, so then in such a case, then you're going to have the problem of Shir Yasan Zehu Kibusan. And then in such an instance, we left off with the Tzarech Iyun in the Beis Medrash, what the heter is going to be. So that's in regards to contact lenses. In regards to, someone sent me an email with an interesting question in regards to removing, and then afterwards, it was mentioned, Rabben, I think, mentioned that we discussed this after Shir, that there is some material on this, and that is in regards to salt, using salt to remove a stain. So in Shulchan Aruch, everything that we've had up until now is using water or one's hands to remove a stain. What about using salt? Now the Mumchim, if you take a look, Rav Man Shlita has a beautiful article on it in Chelek Hay of Living the Halachic Process. And it's in the halfway through the booklet, pages 85 through 87. He quotes that the Mumchim have pointed out that if you put salt inside on a, let's say, a tablecloth that has a stain, so then the salt has the ability to draw out the stain itself. It has the ability to draw out. Similarly, Rav Mann points out that we have this idea in halacha as well, that salt pulls out blood. So salt has the ability to remove. And therefore, Rav Mann's conclusion, and we're going to see in a moment, it's very much consistent with the Psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman, is that if the salt is being used to remove not only a surface stain, but is used to remove the stain itself, so then in such a case, then that would be an Iser, possibly D'oraisa, of Malabim. In other words, the fascinating question is that we don't have earlier Makoros that suggest that there's anything outside of Malabim, outside of using water. However, Man points out, even though we don't have any rayas from the Rishonim, it's Mestaber, that if you're pulling out the stain, so then in such a case, that would be enough to qualify as Malabim. He does have a very good Maramakom in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and that is outside of your booklet. It's on the second page over here. Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa in Perek Tezvav Si'if Chav Dalid, just quotes from Shlomo Zalman, V'chein Osir Lehishtamish Ba'avakat Talc, that's T-A-L-C, Kedei Lisfog Shuman Shenishbach Ala Beged, that you're not allowed to use talc powder to pull out a stain from fat that's inside of a Beged. So it's mistaber that if Rav Shlomo Zalman said that it doesn't apply only to water, it doesn't only apply to using your hand, but it'll apply to talc as well. So the same would apply in regards to salt, and presumably the shaila then would even be a shaila of a d'oraisa. Okay, so this is in regards to salt, and this is in regards to contact lenses. And I looked around, I didn't find anything else, and as we were walking in, Rabbi Yaakov told me about the article of Rabbi Weiss, and then Niskarti about that the article, so if there's anything more there, maybe we'll update. But Luchura, if there is a cleaner that's involved, then there should be a problem with Shir Yasan, Zehu Kibusan, with a cleaner. So I don't know how many people who just use the same cleaner, all-purpose solution, day in and day out, I'm not sure what the heter would be in regards to the contact lens. It could be, it depends on exactly how the contact lens is made, how it cleans it, and so on and so forth. But based on the Archa Shabbos' research, it does get into the inside of the lens. He points out that there are two things that the cleaner does. One thing it does is that it removes any dirt. The other thing is that there's a type of protein that gathers on the lens, and it cleans it, and it removes that as well. Both of them are shyless in regards to libun on Shabbos. Tov. Well, yes?
Is that
the Reisman? I'm not sure why it should only be Durabanan. I'm not sure why it should be Durabanan, particularly according to Shitas Rashi. If any way of removing dirt is going to be an Isur D'Oraisa, and the way the Be'er Halacha understands Shitas Rashi, I'll tell you which Be'er Halacha I'm referring to. It's the Be'er Halacha in Shin Beis, Dibur HaMaskil, Dibur HaMaskil, the Havei Tochen. Based on that Be'er Halacha, it would seem to me that that would be D'Oraisa. Okay, today we're going to go to a lot of interesting topics that are Dine Durabanan. The Mishnah tells us on Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph, Mikaplin es hakelim afilu arba v'chamisha panim, that you're allowed to fold garments even four or five times. Let's see it in the Gemara, how the Gemara presents it. The Gemara presents us with a bunch of conditions. Amri dvei rabbianai, lo yishanu al ba'adam echad. This only applies to one person. In other words, if one person's folding, al v'shnei b'nei adam lo. But if your two people are folding, then it's going to be Aser. Notice we haven't explained at all what the Iser is going to be. Obviously, what we're going to spend the next 10 minutes doing is trying to understand the Gedera Iser. And once we understand the Gedera Iser, that's going to help us understand the Halacha L'maisa as well. And with one person, when he's allowed to fold it, he's only allowed to do it with new garments. Avah b'yushanim lo. The Rishonim explain, let's start with Rashi, Yishonim, Kipula mitaknen yoser min hachadoshim. It's a better kipul, it's a better fold if you're using old as opposed to new. V'chadoshim nami lo amaren ela b'levonim. And even chadoshim, that it's mutter, it's not much of a fold, is only when it's white. Because there, the fold, the effect is even less. Avol b'tzvuim lo. If you have another garment, so then in such a case, you can't even do the kippul on the white, on the chadashim, ba'adam echad, if you're able to be machlif. Now what's unclear is what exactly is the iser over here. What exactly is the iser, and what is the context when the Mishnah said that you're allowed to do it even four or five times? So what would you suggest? What would you say to the iser?
My intuition was Mitakimon.
Mitakimon. Okay, very good. So let's start with that. That's Rashi. Rashi says in the Mishnah that when you fold it, so then in such a case, there you're more likely to prevent creases. And Rav Nevinsal points out, when Rashi says that it prevents creases, that means that the garment is going to look better. That's what Rav Nevinsal points out in the Mishnah Brura on this, who basically uses Rashi's words. And then if you take a look at Rashi on the Gemara, Rashi says, the first Rashi, appears as if you're doing Tikkun Manah. Now, Rabben, your Yesod, I think, is Halacha L'maisa in the Shulchan Aruch. Your Havana is the Halacha L'maisa L'niyaz Daiti in the Shulchan Aruch. Not necessarily all Shitas will agree, but I think that Havana will help us best in Shulchan Aruch. What's difficult with Rashi? So let's formulate this very clearly. This is tikkun mana midrabanan. This is going to be makav patish midraban. What would be difficult with this? Anybody have any questions on this pshat? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam,
sha'kol
nihyeh b'dvarai.
If it's a violation of tikkun mana to fold your clothing, then why
would
I do a four or five times on Shabbos?
Very good. If it's an issue of tikkun mana, so then why is it that we're going to allow you to do it in the Mishnah four or four times? And why will allow you to do it if you have hachlafa? So what would one have to say for Rashi? What would you have to say?
Somehow, if it's only for that short period of time, it's not even considered a tikkun.
Oh, okay. You said in a lamdish way. I would say much more. I hold that Baal Batish is a praise when it comes to halacha. So I would say. So I would say that the simple Baal Batish of Shad and Rashi, I think, is that what Rashi is saying is that it's a takana midrabanan, but they didn't make this nirakim misakein when A, it didn't look so much like tikkun, and B is you don't have any other choice. If you don't have any other choice and it's Letzarek Shabbos, so then in such a case it's going to be mutter. That, I think, is the pshat according to Rashi. I think that's how Rashi is going to be masbir the sugya.
Is that
yes?
The same thing as what Ben Sion was saying?
No, Rabbi Ben Sion was saying something a little different.
Okay.
He's saying something a little different. So if it was Gemara Shir, I would go through his pshat. But now let's just try to have the shittas clear. So let's we'll stay with this. Let's contrast this to the Rambam. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Perchav Beis, Halachav Beis, and that's in the first page of your booklet, where the Rambam says, also the second Beis Yashel Begodim, Shabram Shvarim. Here the Rambam is describing making cuffs or ruffles for a shirt. Kederek Shem Sakin Bechal Begodim, Kishim Mikabsin Osan. So the Rambam starts out and talks about an Iser Midrabanan of those things that resemble kibbutz. In other words, what it means, resemble kibbutz? These are things that are done in the process of kibbutz. That's what the Rambam describes in his opening line of Asol Sakin. And along that list, the Rambam says, V'chein ein mekaplan ha-begodim b'shavs k'derach sh'osan b'chol k'begodim k'shi'i kapsu osan. You're not allowed to fold the garments in a way that you normally do after you wash them. That's how the Rambam describes it. And then he gives all the tnayim that we have in our Gemara, which we're going to see shortly in Halacha. So you could read the Rambam, that the Rambam is very similar to Rashi, and we're going to see shortly that that is how the Aruch HaShulchan understands the Rambam, and that's basically how we're going to run La Halacha. But I do want to point out that there is a very sharp Tosas Yom Tov on the Mishnah of the Kaplan HaSakelim, who quotes this Rambam, who said, and will explain why these halachos appear in the Simin Shin Beis. Shin Beis, we're learning the halachos of Libun. If these were halachos of Makkah V'Patish, it would be in another Simin, Simin Shin Mem, and the Shin Lamids. What's it doing over here? So Tosas Yom Tov says very, very sharply. He says as follows. He says, Ulefi, it's in your booklet. This is Lahagdil Torah Ladir. It's not going to have Halacha L'mais implication, but it is a very nice ha'ara. In the fourth page, in Dibar Maskel Mekaplin Esakelim, he says, V'ulai nami she'sovrim she'asur chachamim mitam gzeira shema yovel edei kibus im natir dvar mabom lehoseis al edei kibus. V'chein mash mektas. The Tosis Yom Tov points out that for the Rambam, all of these things are gzeira of atu kibus, that you're going to come to kibus, and these are things that are normally done with kibbutz, and that would answer also our question, when it's Letzarek Shabbos, then in such a case will be matirit. If you need it for Shabbos, then it's going to be mutter. However, if you don't need it for Shabbos, so then in such a case, then the halacha is that it's going to be usher, because it's reminiscent of kibbutz. So the Rambam could be either, like Rashi, that some takana midrabanan, of Makkah the Patish, or the Pashtus of the Rambam actually is that it's in the Halachos of Kibbutz, and that explains why it appears in Simin Shin Beis, Sif Gimel, because it falls into these set of Halachos. Now, there is another Havana. And the Aruch HaShulchan points out that it could very well be that that Havana will explain the position of the Mardechi and is going to be important in terms of Halacha L'maisa. The Aruch HaShulchan is in your booklet right after the Rambam. And the Aruch HaShulchan Shin Beis Yud quotes the Rambam and essentially puts the sheet of the Rambam with Rashi. And then he suggests the following. He points out that the Mishnah of Mekaplin, Es HaKelim, also has Halacha Matzian Es HaMita. So towards the end of the Aruch HaShulchan, in Sif Katan Yud, he says, Va'od Shaninu Sham U'Matzian Es HaMita S'Malei Shabbos L'Malei Shabbos. Avalo Mishabbos L'Motzai Shabbos. The Mishnah also says that you're not allowed to fold your beds from Shabbos for use to Matzai Shabbos. And the Rambam explains over there that's based on Mesakin. So it's very good. According to the Rambam, assume not like the Tosas Yom Tov, it's one halacha Mesakin, very similar to what Rav Bennett said as well. But then he adds, V'harayvit kosav, to Yisr mepneishu matriach l'chol, that the Yisr is based on the idea of tircha, of preparing from Shabbos to Chol. So Rabbos said, why are you not allowed to make your bed on Shabbos, in instances when it's Asr? We'll discuss, of course, the Aruch HaShulchan's Heter about making one's bed on Shabbos. Why are you not allowed to make your bed on Shabbos? There are two possible reasons. Either it's based on a tikkun mana midrabanan, that folding it and making it nice is making the sheets not crumple, or it's based on the idea of tircha. So the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that the Ravid is going to explain not only the halacha matzina samitos that way, but also mekaplin es hakelim, also based on that idea. And that is that it's an issue of tircha. And says the Aruch HaShulchan, there's going to be a nafkamina between the Rambam and the Ravid. The nafkamina between the Rambam and Ravid is going to come up as an important halacha lemaisa nafkamina. And that is, are you allowed to fold your talis on Shabbos for the weekday? If it's, you hold that every type of kippul is by definition considered tircha, like the Ravid had suggested, so then in such a case, there would be a problem in regards to tircha, of folding the talis from Shabbos for the weekday. Then that would be an issue according to the Ravid. However, if we're going to find a way to get out of the problem of folding on the lines, which we're going to discuss shortly, so then in such a case, it could very well be that according to the Rambam, it's going to be mutter. Rav Mati pointed out that there is a Tshuvas Maharshag, I have it photocopied by my seat, where the Maharshag points out that all things that are part of your regular routine is not going to be considered, it'll make sense according to the Rambam, is not going to be considered tircha. If the normal thing that you do is you fold your pants on the folds, it could very well be that according to the Rambam, that's not tircha. The only shaila is going to be tikkun mana. So we have to deal with tikkun mana separately. But in terms of tircha, you don't have to be choshesh for tircha. So it could very well be that the Rambam is going to hold like this shita. Anything that's part of your regular routine, by definition, does not qualify as tircha. So therefore, if that's so let's continue on in the Aruch HaShulchan Sifkatan Yud Aleph. V'yesh nafkamina l'dina b'natam del Rambam v'lesay tam tircha mutter likbo beged b'kipul pashut shembo tikkun kli. You'd be allowed to fold your garment if in the case it's not going to be mesakein af l'chol. U'la ravid asr mishum tircha mishabes l'chol. So according to the ravid, then in such a case, it's going to be permissible. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan goes on in Sifkat and Yud Beis, and he quotes a Rav Yah. U'bemardach yisham kasav kasav Rav Yah, t'taliso sheheim levonim she'ein tzarech lo bo bayom achar tzeisim beis kakneses osur lekaplon bein chadoshim bein yishon v'afilo adam echad v'hani mili b'seder kipulo harishon avos shelo b'seder mutter afilo b'shnei b'nei adam. The Aruch HaShulchan says, and we're going to see this shortly in the Shulchan Aruch as well, quoting the Mardechi, that the halacha is that as long as you're not folding it on its creases, so then in such a case, you don't have a problem of tikkun manet, and then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. The Aruch HaSholem then goes on and says that even according to the Ravid, he thinks that it's not such a big tircha if you're folding, not on the creases, and therefore the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. And therefore, the Aruch HaSholem concludes that one, l'chol ha'pachos, would be able to fold one's talis on Shabbos, even though you're not going to use it until the next day in the shul. It's not going to be a problem. What about folding on the lines? We just took care of the issue of regards to tikkun manim. What about folding on the lines? He then concludes with a kolbo, sifkot and yudbeis. Va'achshav shenogu l'kapel kol ha'kelim, efshar dekipul didon lo dami lekipul shelahen, sheikbeidim ma'od lifshot k'matav, v'lo kein anachnu osim. That the kolbo holds that you're allowed to fold even on the lines today because it's not the original mekaplin kelim. So what emerged is as follows. We have the Ramban who says that the issue is tikkun manet, and we have the Ravid who holds that the issue is tircha. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Aruch HaShulchan is going to say that at the end of the day, today, the folding of a talis is neither one that's tircha, it's not very much tircha to fold it simply on the lines, so you remove the Ravid Shita, as well as, in regards to tikkun manet, it's not going to be tikkun manet because, again, the creases aren't really significant. It's not the same thing as the ruffles that we had seen in the opening line of the Rambam, and he argues that in both cases, it would be mutter. Most poskim don't go as far as the Aruch HaShulchan. Dahainu, that if you hold like the Ravid, it could very well be that it's an issue of tircha.
Folding on the lines?
It's an issue of tircha. And if you hold like the Rambam, to fold on the lines, in such a case, that would still be a problem of mikaplin es hakelim. But at the end of the day, the Aruch HaShulchan starts off and he presents that you have these two different shitas of how to read the sugya, and he ends off that a talis is going to be mutter in all instances. Before I take the questions, let's just see how the Mishnah Brura presents it, starting, of course, from the Shulchan Aruch. It says the Mechaber in Shin Bei Sif Gimel, Mekaplin Kelim B'Shabbos Atzarek, Shabbos Alov Shem Bo Bayom, V'Dafka Ba'Adam Echad, U'Bechadoshim, Shadayim L'Neskapzu, U'Levanim, V'Elo L'Hachlif, V'Mchasar Achas Me'elu Atnoim, Asur, V'Yesh Misha Omer, D'Lekaplo Shlokase L'Kipul HaRishon, Mutter B'Chol Inyin, V'Nirin Dvarav. So the Shulchan Aruch, according to the way the Mishnah Brura understands it, goes be'ikvei Rashi, and many would argue the Rambam as well, that he says the chash is in regards to tikkun manet, and therefore he says that the kapel shalok yisedir kipulo mutter v'nir and dvara. The Mishnah Brura quotes there those who are machmir, but that's only ha-machmir tavol of bracha. And therefore, what comes out in terms of halacha l'maisa is most are noeg like the position of the Shulchan Aruch as understood by the Mishnah Brura. Not like the way the Aruch HaShulchan had presented it, that's neither a problem of tikkun manet nor a problem of tircha, that one could be mekapel even though you're only going to use it tomorrow. Why? Because we follow Shitas HaShulchan Aruch, that there's no problem of tircha if this is the normal way you treat the item after you use it. In the Aruch HaShulchan's expression at the end of Sif Katan Yud Aleph, the Aruch HaShulchan says, what? You expect, is it Derech Eretz for a person to drop whatever he has on the floor? You're going to drop on the floor? So he said, so therefore, dropping on the floor is not a requirement of Dinei Tircha for the next day. And therefore, one is allowed to fold. But how could one fold? So the Aruch HaShulchan claims that based on the kolbo, one could actually fold on the lines. However, the Mishnah Brura seems to come out like the Shita that says to fold off of the lines, and at the end of the day, even if you're going to argue that there is tircha in the sugya. The Shulchan Aruch didn't say that the issue was tircha, and since the Shulchan Aruch did not say it's tircha, and the Mishnah Berurah also doesn't mention tircha, so then in such a case, it's going to be mutter. It is true that the Mishnah Berurah in the end of Sif Katan Yutes does say you should know that there's a concept of tircha out there, but he's not explaining the sugya of kippul, and when it comes to kippul, then folding, not on the lines, would be the Eitzah HaMiyutza, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so this is the breakdown of the Shitas HaRishonim, according to Rambam, Ravid, and Rashi. If you learned that the sugya is asur based on tircha, if the sugya is asur based on tircha, so then it's beautiful, the idea that two people can't do it, right? Because when two people are doing it, they're being matriach to make a better thing. If you don't have any hechlef, so then in such a case as well, mekaplin kelim arba pa'amim, you're doing it for letzorach Shabbos, so then in such a case, it's not going to be a problem. The difficulty is going to be, what's the chiluk between yeshanim and chadashim, colored and not colored? So then you would have to say, the more professional the fold, the greater the tircha. And in such a case, that would be asur als tircha. But it is a little bit difficult to be masbir, even though the Aruch HaShulchan claims that there are many Rishonim that go like the Ravid. One more, I'll take your questions beforehand. This Ad Kan was the sugya, the standard way of learning up the sugya, and this is the halacha lemaisa. Yeah, go ahead. The answer is that it's Heim Amru veHeim Amru. Chazal were the ones who said this appears like Tikkun Mana, but they said at the end of the day, if a person is not going to have a jacket, they didn't make the gzera that it appears as Tikkun Mana. Not going to have pants, they didn't make the gzera of Tikkun Mana.
And that's what the Mishnah is talking about. It says you can fold.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Can we say the Mishnah Berurah is not
choshish
for
tircha? The Mishnah Berurah is not choshish for tircha as the Isser of Mekaplin Kelim.
Then, so the folding down like pieces is only trying to take
your teeth. Exactly. You're bothered by Mishnah Berurah?
In Sif Gimel, or Sif Gimel says, Azul Kabbalah Talas Af Mishnah says, it is called Yom Yachol Leis Antik, but Mekomakom.
Right, so that's part of the gzera of kippul. In other words, that's the example of yesh lo hachlef versus ein lo hachlef of the Gemara. Do you need it or you don't? You're right. Many don't understand the Mishnah Berurah. I can see why someone would understand the Mishnah Berurah differently than me. But I think that's the kavanah of Mishnah Berurah. He only brings up the issue of tircha at the end of Sifkat and Yutes. I agree. I'm staking a unique kavanah in the Mishnah Berurah, but I think that's the correct one. Yeah.
In the Aruch HaShulchan, it says the nafka mina is a kippul between the Rambam and the Ravid.
Right.
First he says kippul poshut.
Right.
And then he says that if you don't do on the lines.
Right.
You see,
minei ubei, you're bothered. The Aruch HaShulchan seems. Yeah. In the base marriage, we'll try to be miyashiv. I think there's a way to be miyashiv, but it's a fair ha'ara. We'll try the base marriage. Yeah.
Just in understanding the Gemara, I'm not so clear on the Aruch HaShulchan's two categories.
Okay.
Because the Gemara that gives the four tefillin, it's going to explain how you could do it on Shabbos for Shabbos.
Right.
But for on Shabbos, for after Shabbos, even with all those four tefillin, it's still asur.
So the vort is that's already too much tircha.
No, but why don't we say that both aspects are very clear in the sugya? I mean, I don't like the fact that we're boxing Rashi into saying there's only an issue of teeth and money.
Okay.
You
want to disagree with Aruch HaShulchan? I think what he's saying makes a lot of sense. Right? We'll argue more. The last sheet that you'll be happy with. Yeah, I hear what you're bothered by. I think the Aruch HaShulchan was not bothered by what you're bothered by.
Isn't that the first Mishnah that these two don't work on Shabbos for after Shabbos? That's my first. You can only do this stuff on Shabbos.
Yeah,
first.
Okay.
Okay, isn't that certainly because you can't do something on Shabbos for after Shabbos?
Yes, but there are other halachos of tircha. There are other halachos even within Shabbos itself of Tircha. That's the Vart. Yes, Rabban.
We've been kind of treating Rashi and the Rambam like they're the same sheet until now. But Rashi seems to be saying that when you fold it, you prevent new wrinkles that you don't want. And that's Tikkun Malach.
Right.
Whereas the way we're learning the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam is that when you make or reinforce the crease, like the crease that you do want, that's Tikkun Malach. That's not the same thing.
I hear your Ha'ara. Rav Nemtzal is bothered by your question, and he tries to fold Rashi into the Rambam. In a Chanami, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Mir Tashem, one day when you write Ha'aras Lamishavru, you could...
The Shulchan was going with the Rambam, and Rashi is another sheet.
For sure,
that's okay too.
For sure, most definitely. In Halacha, a lot of times, if we're not being mefarid every single shita, it's a lot easier to put to put those shitas together. It's a different methodology that we're... If this... It would be morning seder, I'd be approaching it differently. But... Okay, now let me show you, with all what you're bothered by, all your questions, this is Mamish Mesameach. There is a third shita that answers a lot of what the Chev was bothered by. This is Lahagdil Toru Ladira that I found in the Raivon. If you take a look in the next page, again, the Kovet Shitas Kamoi, I was bothered by the question that Rabban Zion is asking. I was bothered by the question that Rabban was asking. But I'm presenting how the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shulchan Aruch understand it. But if you take a look, I think that the Raivan is going to learn the sugya closer to the way you were learning it. If you take a look, it's on the bottom of the first column, Mekaplin es habegadim v'leile Shabbos u'mechraso mitzafra lepanya. Then the Gemara says, two, ein mekap people, ein mekaplin keechad, mipnei kemira kemaisa uman, because it appears as if a maisa uman. So that's so far very similar to Rashi. Ve'echad nami, ein mekapel el chadashim avrishanim, lo dekipulon mashul kechadashim, mashul kechadashim, v'nimtza shehu malacha. This is mamish misameach. We found in the Beis Medrash that there is a shita who holds that the issue over here is not an issue of derabanan, but it's an issue of deraisa. If two people do it, it's nirik maisuman. And if it's yishanim, so what does the Raivon say? He says it's a malacha. So if that's so, so then when the Gemara is talking about chadashim and yishanim, tzvuim and levanim, so you don't have to give a dachuk tikapshat and say that, well, those things are tircha, or those things are also tikkun mana midrabanan. No, those things are malacha mamish. And then the Raivan goes on and he says, and to do it for the next day, so then in such a case, then he says, that is preparing michol la'arev. So according to the Raivan, there's tzvei dinim in our sugya. There's one halacha that tells us the nisur d'oraisa, and then there's another halacha that says that you're going mi Shabbos l'chol. So Rabban Zion and Rabban, a lot of the questions that you were bothered by, according to the Raivan, is beautiful. You don't have to be matzik any of the tonight. But we don't paskin that way. The Raivan is very, very nice. It's very, very beautiful. But we don't pass that way. But I did have a lot of simcha finding that, because the questions that you were bothered by were bothering me as well. And the Raivan learns that there's two dinam in our sugya. One is that the instances where the creases seem to be improving, so then in such a case you're dealing with an Isidar Raisa Tikkun Mana. And those instances that don't seem to have anything to do with Tikkun Mana, that he says is Ulda Dechal. In other words, he basically takes the Rambam and Rashi, which might be different shitas, but both are dine derabanan about the folds, and elevates them to daraisa, and he accepts the raivit as well, that it's tircha. So it was a big simcha to find that raivon. It doesn't seem to be the approach halacha l'maisa, by the way, if we pass it by this raivon, actually it would be a lot harder today, because you'd be dealing with more absolute isurim. Okay, so this is in regards to the issues of kippul begadim. One quick point in regards to makiv et patish begadim that comes up in regards to the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Beis Beis is just very quickly. The Mechaber says haloket yabolas she'al gabe begadim kigon elu ayabolas shel kli etzemer hanisharim behem min ariga chay mishum makiv et patish. So what we have over here is an iser of removing parts from a garment that are making the garment difficult to wear, uncomfortable to wear, or the garment isn't entirely complete. And the way the Mishnah Berurah presents in the end of Sif Katan Ches, that it could very well be that it's an iser of makiv patish, shederech ha'umnim lahasir be'ez gemar melacha. It's common for the artisans to remove these things when they're finished a malacha. In other words, the shirt is not complete without removing these imperfections from the shirt. So this is something to keep in mind. This is something that happens, and that is that when people are dealing with garments or kelim, every once in a while, for some reason, the kli or the shirt is not usable, or people would not use it without removing that item. And that is going to be a shaila of makiv patish. So I'm mentioning it because just simply we have it here in Shin Beis, chaval not to touch on those issues as well. There is a fascinating diyun in terms of halacha lemaisa in regards to that shaila. If you take a look, I photocopied in one of these sets of photocopies over here, the Binyan Shabbos. Let's see. Oh, maybe it's in the book. Is it in the book? Yeah, it's in our booklet. The Binyan Shabbos, all the way in our photocopies.
Last page,
Yashikoach. Suggests an interesting svara in regards to the following shaila that comes up. It comes up pretty often. And that is that someone prepared his Shabbos shirt, and then he realizes that there's a tag that he didn't remove. Now, let's not talk about korea now. Let's say there's a way that you can remove the tag that would not be a problem of Korea. We're going to get Mirtz Hashem. I've decided that what we're going to learn next in Mirtz Hashem is Tofer and Korea. So you could remove it without a Shaila of Korea. Is that going to qualify as Shin Beis Beis as removing something that's Misakin? So he quotes a Svara that he claims that Rav Shlomo Zalman was Maskim to. I have no reason to believe that that's illegitimate. I was just afraid when I said he claims. That he says that Rav Shlomo Zalman was masking to, and that is the following, that the shirt itself, he suggests, the shirt itself is complete. The shirt itself is complete, and when the shirt was made, it was made without the tag. Later on, the tag is put on top. And he says that's better than if you had pieces of wood that were inside of the shirt. Then the uman is going to want to take it out. However, the tag, the uman wants to put it on. So he completed the shirt, then he wants to put on a tag. And removing them is not going to qualify as makiv patish. And then he suggests that it's also not an iser korea. Remind me when we do korea why he thinks that it would be mutter. So at the end of the day, the Binyan Shabbos comes out that would not qualify as makiv patish. In contrast, here we have a photocopy that is not in the booklet. If you take a look in Rav Nissim Karelitz, there might not be a machlokas over here. Maybe yes, maybe no. You tell me. It's you could be mefalta. Rav Nissim Karelitz in the Chut Shani in the Halachos of Kosher, Perek Lamed Dalid, Os, the end of Os Yukimel, he says tfayot are tagged. Shalbet Karoshet, she efshar lilbosh es habeged os achalifa imo. If you have tags that you couldn't wear the garment with it, also not go b'Shabbos, then you're not allowed to take it off on Shabbos. I always assume like this, Rav Nissim Karelitz. This comes up every once in a while. It happens that you removed all the tags. This happened once for me before Shabbos. I removed all the tags, but on the back of the collar, it has the size. It's a plastic sticker that says the size. So if one would know that, if one would not realize, one would go out, one would be uncomfortable wearing that on Shabbos. So I think Rav Nissim Karelitz would say that it's aser, that would be considered the makiv patish. While the Binyan Shabbos L'chura would say that it's not makom patish, right? L'chura, that's there is a machlok.
Sounds like e'efshar. Not so like
the case not like, embarrassed.
Right.
Yeah, the doesn't mean before are socks that are tied together. Uh-huh, right.
Okay. So you want a dina that Rav Nissim Karelis is talking about? Is talking about that you? What does it mean? You can't.
Yeah, like
that's the only way. The tag. Let's say they're holding the.
Right, you couldn't wear it unless.
Okay. Okay, I hear. Okay. In other words, it doesn't mean that the fellow is uncomfortable, but you can't. But still, Rav Shlomo Zalman would also, as quoted, would disagree with this. He would still disagree because he would say that the item was complete, and nevertheless, you can't. Okay, so the Talmidim HaYikarim are arguing that if it would be something that you would just be uncomfortable wearing out, in such a case, that would not be Makdav Patish. It's only those things that it's not functional. Okay. I tended to be machmir about that previously. I had assumed that it would be usher even if the shirt would be, for whatever reason, unwearable. So we have three different gradations over here. So just to crunch, you have Shlomo Zalman, who says that once you've completed the shirt, it's going to be mutter. You have Rav Nissim Karel, it's according to the way Talmidim are understanding it, that is that even if the shirt is complete, but something was added that made the shirt unwearable, and then in such case, to separate would also be makdav patish outside of Korea. And then what if the shirt is wearable, but functionally wearable, for whatever reason you would feel uncomfortable, then in such a case, that would be mutter as well. It's very interesting. I always wonder about this, that I've noticed Europeans, and I think even some Middle Easterns, I don't know if it's a style or what the cheshbon is, many people leave, sometimes you have the brand tag on.
You just don't know that they're supposed to take that
take
off.
It off.
Americans don't do that?
Americans do take it off. But there's some who don't, who leave the tag on. So an American person would never walk out like with that tag on. So I'm not sure what the cultural thing. So that's my nafkamina. Would that be considered makdav patish? So I thought that would be makdav patish. If you were in New York City, no one would walk out like that. So then, in such a case, I thought it was makdav patish. But maybe no. Clearly, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, for sure it's not going to be a problem. The suffix is, and within Rav Karel, it's what the halacha would be. So I'm now masupak. I'm not. I agree. Rav Karel is not saying it. Yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
Who's the Binyan Shabbos?
Binyan Shabbos was a talmid of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Who wrote a sefer?
Okay.
We're going to use him more for Korea and Tofer. I forgot his last name now.
Okay. And second question.
He's in Har Nof. By the way, if I recall correctly, I haven't looked at this lately. If I'm not mistaken, he was an orphan. Rav Shlomo Zalman had known his father, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said to him, "I want to do everything I can to help you, v'chulei." So he said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, "If that's great, so I'm going to I'm going to write you a lot of letters, and he wrote him a lot of letters. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was makari of him, and he then put out a very nice sefer called Binyan Shabbos. That's how I believe that sefer came about. Yeah.
The second question: is it possible to have makom patish twice, once the garment or whatever it is finished?
Okay, so that brings up a minchas chinuch. That the Minchas Chinuch says that when it comes to, in general, now we're in the sugya of Makdav Patish, that Makdav Patish can't exist if there's another malacha that you're being over. So first of all, you're not over, if you're over Bona, then it's not Makdav Patish. You're over Bishul, even if you held Makdav Patish, then you're not over Makdav Patish. Presumably, the whole point of the Minchas Chinuch Yisod is that Makdav Patish is that the final completion of the garment. And that means that there's only one makom patish. So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think that the moment in which you're going to say the garment was made and it's no longer subject to makom patish, you can't create another step and say that there's going to be another makom patish. I don't think so. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the makom patish might be when they sew in the horse on the polo shirt. So then, in such a case, that's the makom patish. And there wouldn't be another makom patish after that. That wouldn't be makom patish. Yes, or no?
I don't know if this helps us understand Dalit in the first one, but in Gimel, he discusses the socks where you just can't wear them without
ripping. Right, that was Rav Dov made a point. Yeah. In other words, then Sifkat in Gimel seems to be that it's talking about it's not wearable. That would mean that Sif Dalit also Nacham. I'm a Kabbalah. I'm a Kabbalah. The context seems to point that direction. Yeah?
This is the Rishon Rabach might actually be a Chumrah in some cases. We don't necessarily know what order the tags were sewn on. Some tags are obvious what order they're sewn on. But the thing on the arm, who says that's sewn on before the arm's put on the rest of the jacket? I have no reason to think that that's true. Like, I don't know. It could be just easily not be true. In which case, then it was put on first, then the arm was sewn to the rest of the jacket, and then, so then it really would be Makom Kaddish. You have to do some research and find out.
Like, well, what's the last thing that's done?
Right.
Right. Reb Shlomo Zalman, okay, Yesh Lefalpa. Within Reb Shlomo Zalman, Yesh Lefalpa. I hear what you're saying. I'm not convinced, though, that he would say that in such a case that's Makom Kaddish. As you're saying, whenever the garment is done, well, what happens if they did it out of order? Presumably, there's room to say if they did it out of order, then it's batla achefetz ashar
achafetz. No, but this is the way.
Oh, if that was the normal way that they did it.
This is the normal way to manufacture suits.
If they did it, all suits that did it that way, so then in such a case, then in such a case, maybe.